talk to the Lord about his part and the doctor about his part. Okay? But I wanted to know. And so I've listened to endless hours of Brother Hagin lately about some of these things. Because, you know, Brother Hagin was raised from a deathbed. They didn't expect him to live past 16 years old. He had congenitive heart failure. He had a dozen things wrong with him. And they said he wouldn't live past 16 years old. He was paralyzed. He was actually in a coma for, I think he said, like 16 months or something like that. And he'd wake up and say, you know, what day is it, Mama? And she'd say, well, it's this month, instead of what day it was. So I figure he knows a little bit of something about healing. You know, and so I was listening to him. And besides that, the thing I'm going to tell you isn't just something he got off the top of his head. The Lord appeared to him and told him this. And I thought, you know, I want to know about healing. I myself have had so many things in my life that I don't want Jesus to have to pay for things that I'm not receiving. And so today I'm probably going to tell you some of the things in my life, because I don't like talking about your life. I like talking about my life. So through these things, we all know, how many of you already knew that Jesus paid for your sickness?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you got saved, you probably found out about it. But how many times have we run to the drawer and took the Advil or took the pills or took the other stuff? Just because we haven't been clear enough on what and how and when and what and how and when. So let's get into some things just a little bit this morning. In Matthew 13, verse 57 and 58, and Mark 5 and 6, I think this is Mark. Didn't quite get it down exactly right. 5 and 6. Try that one in the King James. Yeah, Mark 5 and 6. Maybe Matthew 57 and 58. If not, I'll just read it to you. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I think I will. Matthew 13, 57 and 58. Try that one. Yeah. And they were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Go ahead. And he could not do many mighty works there because of what? He went about healing them all except for where? His own town. Because they didn't honor him and because of their unbelief. Now, I don't want to be ugly about it. But surely to God, we're not a bunch of non-honoring unbelievers. Because he went about to the sinners. And he healed them all. He went about all their towns and villages and the multitudes. Well, I've got it right here. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. This is Matthew 4, 23 and 24. If you're keeping notes, go read it in your Bible. It's in there, I promise. Teaching in all their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There's part of the problem. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and they were listening to it. And healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among the people. And his fame went up about all throughout Syria. And he brought up all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. And all that were possessed with devils. And all that were lunatic. And all that had the palsy. And he healed them. Yeah. He healed them all, except for when he got to the people that should have been honoring him and should have been listening to him and not in unbelief. They were the ones in unbelief. Kind of odd, don't you think? So let's keep going. So the Lord told Brother Hagin. Now, we've all had hands laid on us. Every one of us probably in here at some point or another in our lives. Who has never had hands laid on you? One, two, three. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to see something. Three. Branson, how many people, right, stand up so I can see you good, has never had hands laid on you? It's the exception. Very few people have never had hands laid on them for healing. Okay? So I'm doing this. So the Lord told Brother Hagin this. He said, he was asking him about healing because he was where I was. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, why do we have so many sick people in the church? I mean, it's a rare day that goes by that we don't get a phone call that we're having to go to the hospital and see somebody and they're sick and we're having to deal with something. I mean, it's a rare day, Branson, here, that we don't have people that are in the hospital or they're sick or they're having to deal with something. And we're not against it, don't get me wrong, and we're not looking down on you. I just don't want you to have to go through it. I think there's a better way. And if there's a better way, why don't we do the better way? I don't want our people having to deal with the things they're having to deal with. And if there's a better path, then I'd like for us to get on the better path. I don't want you hurting. I don't want you broken down. I don't want you broke. I don't want you in pain. I don't want you having to go through those things. So I spent endless hours listening again and again. And we've spent 40 years listening to Brother Hagin. I wanted to hear the things again on healing. And this was the thing. A couple of things stood out to me. The thing that I'm going to get to. This is not it, but this leads to it. The Lord told Brother Hagin, the reason that people are sick, number one, is they don't know it belongs to them. Yep. Now, number one, you can have a head knowledge of something and not a heart knowledge of something. You can know it in your head, but when it comes to actually knowing it, you don't know it. Let me explain that. Keith and I got married. You like examples? Yes. You like for me to make fun of myself? Yes. Just say it. Yes. Keith and I got married. Some of you have heard this story before. We were living in our trailer, our 1969 Marriott mobile home with no insulation. And you know the story. Red carpet, black imitation leather, which was plastic. We hadn't been married long. And actually, we had just barely been married, a few weeks. And they had given us a shower because we had run off and got married. And that's another story in itself. And we were at a friend's house, one of our board members' houses, actually, and which is still our friends today and still our board members today. And I had opened one of those little clocks that you hang on the wall, kind of like that one, but a lot smaller. And when I did, somebody gave me their, you know, they got those little clear plastic zip tie things, little bitty ones that they put on the back of those things. And I was using the pocket knife to cut that zip tie. And the pocket knife was really old, and I don't know whose it was, whosever it was that's watching now. I'm not offended at you that you gave me your rotten pocket knife. Anyway, the pocket knife, when I was using it, the pocket knife slapped close on this finger right here. It just snapped like a shoop, closed on this finger right here. And when it did, blood gushed everywhere. And it what it did was, it was like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. We were, everybody had gone. It was an evening time shower, and everybody had gone. And so we went to the emergency room. Well, you have to understand, we're in the boondocks. We're like 40 miles from any real hospital or any real doctor's office. There's a little bitty hospital there, and the doctors, they called them being on call, but if the nurse didn't think it needed to be a doctor there, well, she wouldn't even bother to call them and ask them if they needed to come. So she saw my finger, and she said, oh, you don't need anything. She put a butterfly on it and sent me home. Well, what happened then was the ligament in my finger kept going back down in my hand and went all the way back down up in here. And so it caused this finger to do like this by Monday of that week. And so it just kind of curled under like this. Okay? Got the picture? So we went home, and I went to a specialist then on the first of the week as quickly as I could to the bigger city, which was Jackson. And they looked at my finger, and they said, the ligament in that finger, because you didn't get it taken care of immediately and sewn up, the ligament in that finger is all the way down in your arm, and we're going to have to do a major surgery on that to go down in there and cut your hand from here to here and get that ligament and pull it all the way back up here and to get your finger, and it's going to be a major surgery, and it's going to be a while for it to heal up and stuff. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? If they would have just taken the time and sewn that finger up, I wouldn't be having to go through all this. So Keith and I had been listening to Brother Copeland. You all know the series Redeemed from the Curse. Amen. Redeemed from Sickness. Yes. Okay? So my husband, the man of God that he is, I don't know if he thought he wanted to try it or he believed it. I should ask him that sometime. I don't guess I've ever asked him that question. But he must have thought he believed it. Because the day before, we're supposed to go on a Monday morning. And the day before I'm supposed to go to the hospital on Monday morning to have this surgery, he says, Sunday afternoon, Phil, I believe that... So what they did was they put it in this kind of splint thing to keep it from going back any further. And it was a metal thing. You've seen them underneath your finger, and it holds it up and this kind of stuff. So I hadn't taken it out of that splint since they had put it in there. He says, Phil, I believe the Lord will heal your finger, and you won't have to go through with all of that, you know. And I went, I'm Catholic. You understand? All the Catholics were laughing if you didn't get that. I'm Catholic at the time. Just now starting to listen to Brother Copeland. Redeemed from the Curse, our first series. We've just been married 2 weeks. And he says, I believe the Lord would heal that. And I don't think you need to go and have that done. And I just looked at him. Now you understand, how many of you have been married 2 weeks and your husband or wife wants you to change everything about yourself the first 2 weeks? How many of you remember that? Okay? So he said, I don't think you need to go. And I said, well, I think I do. And you remember the first 10 years of our married life. You remember that, right? I was the head and he was the head, you know, and two cattails, you know. We'll get more into that later. But anyway, all right, so he says, I don't think you need to go. And I said, I do. And he said, you don't. And I said, I do. And he said, you don't. And I said, I do. And this went on from like 2 o'clock after church in the afternoon till 2 o'clock in the morning. And finally, he says, would you at least kneel down beside the bed here and pray with me about it? And I said, sure, I will. So it was 2 or 3 in the morning by then, and I didn't tell him. He knows now, but I didn't tell him then. Okay. So we're praying, and the Lord is asking him to heal my hand. Now, I was in total unbelief. I want you to know, total unbelief. I was expecting nothing. Now, if you're not expecting anything from the Lord, do you think the Lord can do anything for you? Well, he can. Because you are a baby. He will meet you where you are. That's why all those people that it said all, he healed them all. He can heal you all. If you're not expecting anything and you just won't cut him off. And I said, Lord, if you can do anything, I'm just going to turn it over to you and him. I don't believe in any of this stuff. Whatever. Just whatever. You know, Keith up like that. But just whatever. And so I was laying there. I was kneeling down beside the bed. And there's not hardly, you couldn't hardly kneel straight. You had to turn your knees sideways because the room was too small, you know. So we were kneeling there. And I kid you not, my finger by itself, try it yourself. Lay your finger down on your lap and try lifting that finger by itself all the way up like this. See if you can do it. Try just letting it lift all the way up by itself without you picking it up. Just let it lift all the way up almost to the back of your hand. Can you do it? Impossible. Impossible. But mine did. It just lifted almost all the way up and touched the back of my hand. And fell back down. Now, I didn't tell Keith that. I said, now I prayed with you, but I still think I want to go in the morning. I didn't tell him. I got up. I got dressed. I had to be there at 5:30 in the morning because it's surgery. It's already 3 in the morning. Okay, so I just got dressed and went. I got there. The doctor said, little lady, I don't know what happened to your finger, but you don't need any surgery on that finger. Now, I should have listened to my husband. I could have saved myself a 2-hour trip to the doctor. Now, this is my finger. Now, I want to show you. These are my fingers. Can you see the little bitty crook in that finger? That's a reminder not to be so stubborn. About the healing power of God. I honest to goodness believe that that's what that is. Because I truly believe God could have healed that perfectly straight, just the way it was supposed to go. But every time I get stubborn about his healing power, I just look at that finger. And I think, God, you are the miracle worker. You are the healer and the miracle worker. So the first thing that the Lord told Brother Hagin is, they don't know that it belongs to them. I didn't know that it belonged to me. I didn't know that healing belonged to me. Now, there's people in here like that. They've heard of healing. I heard of it on the Redeemed series. But they don't really know that it belongs to them. So just be willing enough to open up your heart. You don't have to have your spouse there with you. Just be willing enough to get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I trust you. I just don't know. I just don't know. But you're a big God. And I've seen you heal other people. I've heard you say, I heard people say they did it. I don't even know if I believe that, Lord. I'd heard people say they'd been healed. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't believe it. I did not believe it. Because people can say anything. Yes. But when he lifted up that finger, I had to wonder. I did. I had to wonder then. But I still went. And he just kept on proving it to me. The Lord will genuinely prove himself to you.
Amen.
Why would he do that? Because he loves you.
Amen.
He loves you so much. He gave his son Jesus for you. And he paid a horrible price just for you. So if you'll just get someplace quiet, even if you have to crumble up your legs like we did, and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know if it's your will or not. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of stuff, but I just don't know if it's your will or not. Then the second one. They're weak in faith. Their faith is not strong enough, or their spirit is not strong enough to lay hold and resist the devil. They're very weak in faith, and their faith is not strong enough to resist the devil. You want another story? Did that help you at all? Okay, I'll give you another one. About me again. You can laugh at me if it helps you. Again, Keith and I had been married by then, let's see, maybe 2 years. We went to Bible school. Keith was maybe 3 years, three and a half, I don't know. Keith was teaching at healing school. And he was teaching every day. He was eating and breathing healing. Now, this is somebody that is too weak spiritually to receive their healing. And too weak to resist the devil. He was teaching every day at healing school. He was eating up healing stuff. I mean, he ate it morning, noon, and night. He was teaching it in the morning. He was teaching it in the afternoon. And he'd come home at night and study it all night long to be able to teach it the next day. So he was getting it from morning till nighttime, every single day. But me, I was working. And I was getting eye drops full. I would hear him talk about it. I would hear him say it. And I thought I was getting it by osmosis. You know what that means? Mm-hmm. Just because you're up close to it, you ain't getting it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Just because you're around somebody that knows about it doesn't mean you know about it. Just because you've heard somebody talk about it doesn't mean that you have gotten your nose in that book and you have got it in your heart and in your spirit. I had to find it out the hard way. Just because Keith knew, understood, could resist, he has been healed for so long, he might every once in a while get a little cough simply because he's pushed himself too hard and have to rest. That's the only thing I ever know of that he's ever had a symptom about. Ever. But again, he has eat and eat and eat, not vitamins, not the right food. He's eaten the word on healing consistently, constantly. And he was doing that then, over and over and over again. Well, I got a huge lump like a gall in the side of my left breast. Huge. Doctor said, we did a biopsy, you got to get it out, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the whole kit and caboodle. I didn't tell him. I thought, I got this. Now, you have to remember, anybody that's ever listened to the marriage tapes, the first 10 years of our life, we've been married 49 years, just recently, 49 years. The first, 38 of the 49, 39 of the 49 years have been glorious. The first 10 were hell. Why? Because I wanted my way and he wanted his way. And my mother ran my household till the day she died, and my daddy ran, his daddy ran his household. And I knew nothing about the structure that God had in place for a household. And it took me 10 years to find out about it. So during that time, we were fighting like cats and dogs. And I didn't want to tell him because I was mad at him. And I didn't want him helping me at all. For nothing. I'd rather die than Keith Moore help me. You never been there? Then that person you hate help you? I mean, I lived with him, I slept with him, I ate with him, but I didn't want him helping me. Nobody knew that. As far as anybody else knew, we were perfect. You know, he was an instructor at Rhema and everything was grand. And a lot of people do that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Walk in here and hold hands and smile. And just threw a knife at your spouse before you walked out the door. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
You can't put on a front to me. I've been through it all. I can smell it a mile away. Yeah, I've been there. Done that. I notice it immediately. I know what's going on. But I didn't want Keith helping me. And I had that lump in my breast. And instead of it getting better, guess what? Got worse. Doctor said, you better do something about that. I'm going to her and she said, what are you doing about that? Are we going to do surgery? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And that's all I kept hearing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And there was Keith laying hands on people coming home telling me the stories. Laid hands on this person today. They had a lump. It's about this big around and it just went away. Amen. I just saw it underneath my hand. It just went away. And I thought, I mean, of course, that's what happened that day, you know. Of course it did. You know? And the Lord's trying to tell me something.
Yes.
But I'm too stubborn to listen, remember? Too stubborn to listen. You never been that way, right?
No.
You never been too stubborn to listen. I know. I'm talking about me. So one night, I had to do it. I had to actually humble myself. It came down to that. I had to humble myself and go to Keith. And I knelt down beside the bed. This time we had a little bit more room beside the bed. Just about enough to actually put your knees out. And I said, Keith, I got an issue. And I need you to agree with me on it. Now, did you know? Let's turn there for just a second. 1 Peter, I believe it is. 3:7, the very end of that verse. Just about any 1 Peter 3:7. I like Matthew, but yeah, there we go. The very last phrase of that afterlife, it says that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. So I had to repent for being at odds with him first. Being mad, for whatever reason I was mad at him about that day. That my prayers be not hindered. And I had to repent and I had to tell him what was going on. And tell him how long it had been and how I didn't want him to pray for me because I didn't like him. I still loved him.
Yes.
You know, you can love your spouse, just not like them so much sometime. You know? I've always loved him. Loved him since I've been 13 years old. And I asked him to pray for me. Well, this was late in the evening. So he laid his hands on me and he prayed for me. I kid you not. I'd have liked to have said it didn't happen. I'd have liked to not given God and him the credit. But by the next morning, I laid down and I went to sleep, the most peaceful sleep. And by the next morning, the thing was gone and ain't never come back. Now, I've learned healing the hard way, I think. But maybe it's to help you.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to humble yourself. Now, God wants to heal us, but he won't do it our way. Did you get that? I wanted to stand and do it my way. But he said I had to go to Keith and humble myself. And how long did it take when I did that? No time. No time. Sometimes we have to do things his way. And when we do it his way, then it gives him an open channel to be able to do it for us. He's not trying to be mean to us. He just wants things to be right in our lives. You'll understand it more when we get to the next one. He wants things in our lives to be right. Say, he wants things in my life to be right. To be right. So sometimes people just don't, let me read it again exactly the way it is, have the spiritual strength to receive for themselves. That's where I was. Do you understand what that means? I didn't know enough about healing to receive my healing on my own. Amen. Do you understand that? I didn't have the spiritual strength to receive it on my own. Now, you can pretend like you do, but most people don't. Amen.
That's good.
Most people do not have the spiritual strength to receive healing on their own. Let me tell you why. Because they don't know enough of the word. God is not keeping it from us, but the devil will fight you. He is a fighter to keep things from coming to you.
Amen.
He will fight you. It's a tug of war with him. Yeah. Healing is a tug of war with him. You'll get today, you'll get better, and then the next day he'll put all these thoughts in your mind.
Right.
And you'll have to resist him again. And what happens is his resistance is longer. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you're trying to believe God for healing, you can stand for a week. He can stand forever. Do you understand what I mean by that? Unless you know that you know that you know that you know, and the only way that you can know that you know that you know that you know that you're healed, and it's a forever settled subject, is that you know this book better than you know your name.
Amen.
About healing.
Come on.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
You've studied it.
Yes.
You're not confused. You have no question about it in your mind. And I didn't have that.
Yes.
Keith had it, but I hadn't studied it enough for myself to know. I wasn't assured enough myself. Now, I know when I see that's red. That shirt she's got on is red. But I didn't know that by Jesus' stripes I was healed beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that other people had actually been healed by Jesus' stripes. I'd heard people say it, but I didn't know it in my heart. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Yes.
Just because you heard somebody say it doesn't mean you
know
it. The only way you can know it is if you read this book and the Lord reveals it to your heart.
Amen.
And you see it for yourself.
Amen.
And you have a solid foundation to stand on in that area. Then when the devil comes and tries to blow you over, he can't. You know it.
Amen.
Now the next one is the one I was trying to get to today. Number three, he told. These are things that the master, the head of the church, told Brother Hagin. Do they sound right?
Yes.
Number three. disobedience to the word. Now you know the word, but you're being disobedient to the word. Now let me explain this to you. Corinthians tells us people get, let me read it exactly the way that it says it. It says, see, can I find it again here in my notes? It says, 1 Corinthians 11:30. You can put it on the screen. For this cause, for what cause? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For what cause is that? Well, you got to back up a little bit. Back up to verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, it is talking about discerning the Lord's body, his body, when we take communion. But it's also talking about the Lord is the head. And who else is the body? Let's hear it one more time. Who is the body? We are the body. He's the head, and we are the body. So we got people not discerning the Lord's body. So put verse 29 back up there. And 30. For this cause, not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak. And what? Sickly among you. Many are weak and sickly among you for not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I'll come back. You want to hear another story?
Yes.
I can only talk about me. I know me. I told you the first 10 years were horrible. Keith and I fought. I mean, I don't mean we beat each other. I don't mean he ever, ever, ever raised a hand to me. Keith's way of fighting is getting quiet. That's his way of fighting. And I hate that because I'm a talker. You have to know how bad I hate that because I'm a, let's talk, let's get it fixed. I'm a talker. You know. And I want to talk. You know, because my mother was a talker. But his thing is, if you did something wrong, repent. How many have you ever heard him say that? How many of you ever heard him say that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, I didn't think I did anything wrong. I thought he did it wrong. So why would I repent? You got to understand. So why would I repent when I did nothing wrong? I'm just being honest with you. But you know what? That's the cause for hell on earth.
Yes.
It really is. You know? First Peter, I was going back to my notes, but they're in my hand. First Peter says, husbands and wives, your prayers will be hindered. It didn't just say your body will be sick. It said your prayers will be hindered. If you're believing for anything, it ain't coming to pass. How do you hinder a prayer? You stop it. What does hinder mean? Anybody know? Somebody look it up on your phone. Tell me what hinder means. Huh? Stop it. How many of you would like to say you could use a lot less hindering in your prayers? Well, I just told you how. Husbands and wives, quit fighting. Whatever it takes, quit fighting. I finally realized that. I wanted my prayers answered. I wanted to quit being sick and broke. It only took me 10 years. How long is it going to take you? What's that question mark over their head? Is it going to take you longer than 10 years? How long do you want to be sick and broke? Some of your finances are a mess. A mess. But your prayers are hindered. It doesn't matter how much money you sow. It doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter how... What's the New Testament commandment? What does John say? A new commandment I give you. That you love one another as I have loved you. We're not going to get anything from the Lord. It says the last thing he told him was disobedience to the word. The New Testament commandment is love. Now, I see it every single day in ministry. I see people that want to take this page in the Bible and do it and preach to you about it so strong. This is what the Bible says. But then you walk away from them and they're stabbing their brother in the back. When the New Testament command is love. So I want to say, I don't care how strongly you preach this to me. If you don't do this, this is not going to work. The love and judgment thing, but he said, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. It says disobedience to the word. There's many sickly among you. It says you're not discerning the Lord's body. You are the body. You can't be mad at her and expect to get answers. You can't be mad at him and expect to get answers. You can't be mad at her and expect to get answers. You can't be mad at him and expect to get answers. Does not work. I don't care what the reason is. So you have to come to some conclusion. Which is more important to you? I decided being well was the most important thing to me.
Amen.
Not getting my way. I decided feeling good. And you know what? It was a really good thing that I decided that. Because it wasn't that many years down the road that we moved to Branson. And this doctor calls on the phone and she tells Keith, your wife has MS. Lord have mercy is right. Where would I have been in that 10-year span from the time we fought like cats and dogs to the time that I learned that I had MS? It was 10 years. If I hadn't learned not to fight like cats and dogs, hadn't learned about healing on my own, where would I have been? Are you listening?
Yes.
I remember when they told me I had MS. Very few people know. I was having to walk around going from furniture piece to the other furniture piece because I didn't know what was wrong. Having to hold on because I couldn't walk. It was serious. But I know the healer.
Amen.
And I knew him well enough by then that I was able to stand.
Amen.
And I knew him well enough by then I wasn't in disobedience to my husband. I had taught 5, 10, how many marriage meetings, somebody? 12 marriage meetings. I knew I had to submit to my husband by then. Whether he was right, whether he was wrong, whether he did everything right, whether he didn't do everything right.
Amen.
That was God's responsibility, not mine.
Hallelujah.
My job was to do what the Bible said. That was my job. My job was to do what God said. His job was to do what God said. And by then, it didn't take me very long till I was able to overcome all the thoughts. The physical was not a problem. The problem was this.
Right.
That's where the problem was. But if I would not have been mentally in the shape that I was in with him, I would not have been able to overcome it. People want healing. They're believing God for healing, but they're unwilling to humble themselves before the Lord, before people, before who they need to be. They go to the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. And then they go and stab somebody in the back. And they forget the rest of the word that says, if you don't forgive, what? You won't be forgiven. How is the church going to be an example to anyone?
Yes.
Right. Understand.
If we don't do what we know to do.
That's right.
Husbands and wives are fighting like Keith and I were, cats and dogs. You've heard us tell it. It's like tying two cats across a clothesline and them fighting. It was night and day. I'm being as honest with you as I know how to be, because when MS came, I wanted victory. It's a serious thing.
Yes.
You look at my chart today. Shireen is right here. She works on our interest. What does my chart say? It says there's nothing now. But doctors, I mean, they convinced. Incurable. Then COVID came along, and I need to explain this to you, along with this healing stuff. I got sick, like a lot of people did. Now, here's where the problem comes in. If you are fighting, that you need to understand. I was in bed. I could barely get out of bed for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I asked the Lord if I needed to go to the hospital, and I didn't feel like I needed to go to the hospital. But I was trying to find out what I did need to do. I spent too much time wondering where I'd messed up. Instead of what I needed to do.
Come on.
Do you know, you don't have to mess up to get sick.
Yes, that's right.
The devil is here in this earth.
Yes.
And anything that happens, if you don't discern the Lord's body, you can be sick. I mean, the first thing that you do if you don't repent, when I lay my head on my pillow every single night, if I've said something about somebody, it's the first thing I do is I search my heart. Lord, where did I miss it today? Did I say something about them? I don't want to be judged. I don't want to get my day timer out and 6 years down the road, I'm judged for that very thing, or 6 weeks or 6 days. I don't want to be judged for that. Show me so I can repent. Remind me of what I did today. I want to repent now because it says if I judge myself, I won't be judged. Every person in here should be doing that. You may not remember it immediately, but when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you should be doing it. Every person. It'll save you from getting sick. It'll save you from being broke. It'll save you from being in a car accident. It'll save you from people talking about you behind your back. It'll save you all these things. But with COVID, I laid there and I kept thinking, stupid, stupid Phyllis. I can call myself stupid. Keith wouldn't like it, but I can. And instead of doing what I thought I should do, I didn't want to go to the hospital, so I just thought I shouldn't be doing anything with medicine at all. Mm-hmm. And too many people have done that. They've interpreted the whole thing. They put their own interpretation on what God is saying.
That's good.
And we shouldn't do that.
Yes.
We need to hear from God. We don't get quiet enough to hear exactly what He is saying. We put our own interpretation on what He's saying about our sickness. Do we need to have this surgery? Yes, but we only do this part of the surgery. Do we need to go to the doctor? Yes, but we need to go to this kind of doctor, not this kind of doctor. Do we need to do this part of the surgery? Yes, do this, and then go back and do this. Quit trying to fill in all the blanks because we ain't smart enough to fill in all the blanks. But we have to discern the Lord's body in doing that. I spent time repenting. I spent time doing that. But then the Lord, I just got quiet one day and I said, Lord, what is it? And He said, you need to get with such and such and get a breathing apparatus of your own, like a inhaler breather thing. And it had steroids in it. And I got that, and it wasn't a week that I was up out of that bed and I was breathing right. You say, oh, you used medicine? I sure did. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to go right on and step on people's toes. If in your life there's things that would make you really, really happy, if you want to have a facelift, have one. If you want to have liposuction, have it. If you want to take a shot to lose weight, do it. Don't let people judge you. We were just talking about judging. Quit letting people judge you and you quit judging other people. Hey, if you judge people about taking shots, you're going to get fat as a house. If you judge people about having a facelift, your face is going to fall to your belly. It ain't none of your business what people do. It's their body and their money and their time and their hurting. It ain't you. Leave them alone. Goodness gracious, we got enough time to judge people in this world. Leave them alone. If they want to do something, let them do it. It's their body and they going to answer to God if they did something wrong that they wasn't supposed to do. Let them be. If they color their hair bright orange, let them color it orange. What is it to you? The only thing that a person needs to do is please their spouse. And even then, that's a conversation between them. Yes. You keep your mouth and no, mamas and daddies leave your kids alone once they get married.
Come on.
Goodness gracious, we got a lot of judges in the world. Are you paying the bill for them?
No.
Then leave them alone. It's like Jesse says all the time, I got this gal down here and I'm thinking about having something done, but I'm not going to do it. I just talk about it. But if he wants to have it done, glory to God, have it done. That's his business, what he wants to do. If he wants to take medicine, let him take medicine. If you want to take medicine, take medicine. It's your business. It's not their business. Every person in this life is at a different level with God. And they're at a different place with God. It's just like these different levels that we were talking about. Some don't know anything about the word and if it's God's will to heal them. Just like I didn't know about my finger. But the Lord met me where I was. And He'll meet you where you are.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Then others, they know some of the word, but they're not strong enough to stand on it by themselves. So that's why we have faith buddies. And we have pastors that lay hands on people. And maybe when you went in that healing line, you did receive your healing.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord told me to tell you. But you turned away from it when you started talking about people. Mm. And you walked out of love with people. And you started judging people. We can't do that. You didn't discern the Lord's body. And your prayers got hindered when you didn't get along with your spouse. Didn't mean you didn't get healed that day. It meant you didn't keep your healing. You got to keep your healing for it to matter. Because like I said, the devil can stand a long time. He's not going anywhere. But it's us that could die if we don't receive what we need to receive. Or hurt or quit. The Lord loves us so very much. He'll meet us at any level that we are at. If we'll trust Him. He'll meet you by yourself. You just say, okay, Lord, I don't know. He'll meet you with your spouse. If you join hands and say, I'm sorry. Humble yourself. Get with Him. Where two or more agree. That's touching anything. Say that word.
Anything
that they ask. It shall be done for them. Of my Father that's in heaven. And if your prayers are not hindered, you read the rest of 1 Peter and your prayers are not hindered, there ain't no devil in hell big enough to stop what you and your spouse ask.
That's right. That's right.
Keith and I agree all the time. And it happens.
Hallelujah.
It happens. So if you're not spiritually strong enough about something, constantly, Keith will say, Phil, agree with me on this. I'll say, Keith, agree with me on this. Because maybe your head's playing with you just a little bit. But that's what you have a good spouse for.
Yes. Yes.
Brother Copeland used to say it this way all the time. Iron sharpens iron, and that's why God gave me Gloria. Because they made a good team. Keith and I make a good team. Together. Use each other's graces and strengths. And then the last one. Be on your guard constantly. Constantly. To walk in love. And discern the Lord's body. By that, don't judge. Walk in love. And see how healed you get. See how strong you get. Keith will soon be 70 years old. Nothing wrong. He don't even have a general practitioner. The only time he goes to the doctor is when he's got to have his flight physical. And they say, you're doing good. Go. His eyes are good. His body is good. My body is good. My eyes are good. I can read this print right here. Our bodies are good. Now, I've had to overcome some stuff. But dear me, I've stood and I've overcome it. With the help of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. But it's never okay. Say never.
Never.
To talk about people. And it's never okay to be mean to your kids. Never.
Never.
Say that with me. Never.
Never.
Okay.
Okay.
To take your life,
out
on your kids.
Out.
You're having a bad day, so you scream and yell at your kids. That's never okay.
No. Never.
Never. Never, 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 never. Never okay to take it out on your spouse. Never okay to take it out on your kids. You want to get sick? That just opened the door.
Amen.
Never okay to scream at your boss. Never. Never okay to scream at your neighbor. I don't care if they came over to your house while you were going on vacation and cut down every tree in your yard. Ask me how I know. It's never okay. We went on vacation, came home, every tree in our yard was cut down. It was bothering their view from seeing the other neighbors. Sure was bothering their view. We said, oh, it's great. We like the view. We didn't, but hey, we learned a long time ago, walking in love keeps you healed,
amen,
keeps you wealthy,
yep,
keeps you strong.
Amen.
You have to decide what you want in your life. We decided a long time ago what was more important to us. Healthy and wealthy is good.
Yes.
We had the other, no good. When you live in a 1969 Marriott mobile home with no heat, no air, no stove, you don't want it again. Because, you know, you have to realize, it's but for the mercy and graces of God that you are not back there today.
That's right.
Or like the testimony said, you're not the one standing on the street corner with a sign. Don't take it for granted where you are. One accident. You're not promised that you couldn't have an accident when you leave the church today if you're not walking in love.
Yes.
Because when you're not walking in love, it's like you're holding an umbrella over your head in the protection of the Lord when you're walking in love. But the minute you quit walking in love and quit discerning the Lord's body, you walk out from underneath that umbrella and you're fair fodder for the devil. And I don't care if it's for 1 minute or 1 hour. He can destroy you and everything you have. Burn your house to the ground, wreck your car, steal your body, steal your mind. It's a sobering thought. Because that last thing in the thought that I want to leave you with is the more you know, the more you are accountable for.
Yes. Yes.
And every person in these buildings, every person watching us on the internet knows you shouldn't be talking about people. Knows you shouldn't be being so ugly to your spouse. Knows you shouldn't be being so ugly to your kids. Beside the fact that you want to be healed. We should have a church full of people that when I say, how many of you in here are sick? You might have one hand.
Right, that's good.
Come up here and let me pray for you. Everybody join faith with me.
That's good.
We got a person in here that's sick. What an unusual thing.
That's so good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Why would that be? Because we've got people that always walk in love. We've got people that always think of the other person more than, you know, the scriptures that it's talking about, where it's talking about, let me get my wording right, submit yourselves one to another. That's talking about you letting them win. As much as within you, live peaceably with all men. Why is it saying that? Is it saying that for their benefit? No, it's saying that for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So your body is well. So your mind is well. So your heart doesn't have a heart attack tomorrow. So all these heart attacks and all these kidney stones and all these things that people have been having, one right after the other, right after the other. That's not the Lord's will. Can He not clean out our hearts?
Yes.
You heard the story about my heart. What happened? The doctor looked at me. I went back last week for a checkup on my heart. I went in there and he sat in the stool like this. And he wouldn't look at me. He said, I really don't know what happened that last time. He said, why it showed that you had a mad attack. He said, and why we made you go through all that to have stents and all that stuff put in. He said, it looked like you had a massive coronary. And he wouldn't look up at me. He said, I don't understand it. And I said, relax. Relax. All is well. He said, the machines were good. We checked them again. He said, they were good. I said, remember I told you I couldn't come that day? You wanted me to come immediately? And I said, I can't come this day. I said, I have a healing service. I had a healing service that night. And I laid hands on a bunch of folks that night. And he said, there's no way you were physically able to lay hands on a bunch of folks that night. I said, I did. And he said, your heart, he said, it was, he said, I can show you. He said, it was not good. And he said, then you went in there and you had that, what do they call, catheterization. And we were going to put those things in. And he said, it's perfectly clear. I've never seen a heart so clear, he said. He said, you are in no danger of having a heart attack. Zero danger of having a heart attack. But again, what did I have to do? What the Lord said to do. I had to come and do what he said do and not just immediately go and do what they said do. Right. He said, come and have the healing service. I came and had the healing service. Doesn't mean we won't be attacked. Doesn't mean the devil's not going to try stuff on us. Doesn't mean he won't. But when we do what the Lord says do, can he take care of us? Does he love us enough to take care of us and fix it for us? He does. Stand up with me. I love you. I love you. I want you to have everything the Lord wants for you. I don't want one thing in here, one person lacking or broken or hurting or missing out on anything that God has for them. We should be able to do everything that the Lord has called us to do. You should be able to have everything that the Lord wants you to have and not miss out on anything. It should never be that one person from in here goes home and has a fight. It just shouldn't, you know. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take willpower. It's going to take strength. And here's the thing. If you've been used to doing things for a long time, it's kind of like eating certain foods. Can you get addicted to sugar?
Yes.
And does it take some time weaning yourself off of soda pop and coffee and sugar? Does it take time?
Yes.
If you're addicted to that stuff, you can get addicted to fighting. You can get addicted to strife. And it takes some time to wean yourself off of these things. It takes some time to make your flesh do what's right and do the right things. But here's a clue. If when you start to fight, you will grab yourself and say no. Out loud, just say no. Just like that. Just say no. And go find you a corner and get you a Bible and say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you do these things for 30 days, you're going to begin to see a change in your body immediately. Because God meets it just like he did in the book of, I lost my train of thought. Hosea, is it Hosea where he talks about if you start building the temple now, that he'll... Not a person in here knows it. Keith made us read it a dozen times. Haggai, thank you. Haggai, when you start building the temple, he'll start blessing you immediately. It doesn't have to be built, but when you start, so when you start making these changes, God will bless you. God will bless you from the start. So I believe that. So Father God, say this with me.
I plan
to start
making changes
here and now,
here and now.
I refuse
to yield to my flesh.
I mean, I'm going to walk in love. No more hate. No more judging. No more strife. Only love from this day forward. Lord, I ask you to put a watch at the door of my mouth. I only say those things that are edifying and pleasing and encouraging to everyone around me. My wife, my husband, my kids, my friends, my boss, my family, anyone I know. I can do it because the greater one lives inside of me. From this day forward, I'll be healed. I'll be strong. I'll be prosperous. In Jesus' name. Now thank him for it. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father God, we pray this. If there's those under the sound of my voice that don't know you yet, they don't know about healing. They don't know about prosperity. You died and you paid a price for us, not just for healing, Father, but you went to hell so that we don't have to go to hell. Father God, we just ask you if they're in here today and they don't know you, we pray for them, Father. Say this with me. Say, Father, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, never to be the same again. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I love you, Lord. I will serve you all the days of my life from this day forward. And I can be healed. And I can be prosperous too. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in here today and you said that for the first time, altar care workers, if you would come to